closed.
Oh, was there a direction?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
So we have resolution 24-117, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekanen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at 6:31 p.m. Call a question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-118, moved by Councilor Hoskins, second by Councilor Ryland, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held March the 5th, 2024. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back in regular session, so open session, I'll have roll call.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Kekanen.
Ina Watkinson, Clerk Administrator.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Moore.
We did that at the beginning.
Ah, okay. To remember all of that. So just for the public to know who weren't here at the beginning, we're moving, the planning matters.
15-1-2-3.
Up to after the public meeting, so between 10 and 11, and prior to delegations and presentations. I'll ask those members of council as well, any declarations of pecuniary and of personal interest and the general nature thereof. Hearing none. Our first planning matter then is a memo regarding rights of way for BO3-2024 Shandling and Allen. We have a resolution to consider. This resolution 24-119, moved by Morley Haskam, or Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the proposed consent for a lot addition to an existing lot fronting on Manitowoc Lake in part of lots 15 and 16, concession 8, in the Township of McKellar, as applied for by Kenneth Allen, in application number B03/2024 McKellar, and further be approved subject to the following conditions. Number one, confirmation from the applicant's solicitor that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lot. Two, that all landowners who presently have access via Fire Route 150 continue to have deeded access if and when ownership of the fire route is transferred. And three, payment of any applicable planning fees. Open it up for discussion. I think we have an interesting situation. Today, if council is agreeable, I think we have the applicant in the audience. Is that right?
That's correct.
And I know we had some people from the public, too, who'd be interested. So normally we have a question period at the end, but since we're dealing with the planning matters, we might as well deal with all of their comments right at this point. So I'm wondering if Mr. Allen has any comments at this point?
Nope, I only came up to address, thank you. I came up to address if there are any concerns and hopefully add some background on what it is we're asking for and what we're trying to do.
Okay, good. Council, have any particular questions? I know we were concerned about Lot 23 having access through Fire Route 150. And I think the confirmation now from the literature that's come through, but not everybody agrees, I guess, that we'll find out shortly from the public that that person does necessarily have legal deeded access. We're going on the words of certain people, I guess. We haven't actually seen the deeds, so we're not aware of that. And there's some question about Fire Route 150, of course, too, and the part that crosses through the Allen property, soon to be the Allen property, through the Chandling property, and whether it crosses the road allowance and leads out to Tate's Island. But I know some of this is out of your hands. It's not part of your application. So, again, just put it over to council if you have any particular questions. I think members of the public will have if you don't. So. Okay, I'll open up to the public with comments, questions. Maybe we can get some clarification with the owners here.
I just wanted to say it's not my intention to change anything. It's only to enlarge our footprint of land so we can potentially build down the road, maybe. So anything that's in place now will survive. And if we need to make any changes for access to add it so people's rights are protected, not a problem. I will reach out to my neighbor, which is Lot 23.
Right.
Yeah, that's Gail Pendergrass. And I'll give her a shout and see if maybe she can produce any documentation that might add a little bit more clarity to this.
I guess part of it too, do you have documentation that you have access through 150? Fire Route 150?
Yeah.
So you have deeded access to your property?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would be, so I'm an island property.
Right.
And that is with that island, that access, so.
So they are joined on the same deed, or the access is to the island?
I have... On the lot I currently own, I wish I had my deed with me. On my deed to the island,
right.
It's denoted that I can park vehicles, and it actually lays out what areas I can use on the lot. Because when I purchased the property, I had a right of way to use that property to park, and then
right.
Subsequently we purchased that property, and I think it was 2018 or 19. But it was there, and it's laid out with the island deed.
Excellent. So I think that clears up a fair bit. Okay. Need your name?
Yep. Up there?
Sure. Or wherever you can sit there.
Okay, I'll sit down then. So I had a brief discussion with Ken out in the hallway here just a second ago, so I'm more knowledgeable now already too. I guess my biggest concern is Patrick's confirmation through his memo that number 23 Fire Route 150 has a clear right-of-way access. I have no problem acknowledging that they had a right-of-way access across the old right-of-way, which is denoted on that plan right there, that it's no longer used, it's an old road bed. So that showed an access through instrument number 2251, dating back to 1950, that the access went from Tate's Island Road right through to what was denoted as being a 66-foot shore roadlands, which Ken tells me now his surveyor says there's no such roadlands. As time goes on, surveys get more accurate and they find out more things themselves. So that's what's happened, I guess, there. So I have no problem agreeing that he does have a legal access across that old right-of-way. Ken can confirm this, but I don't believe they use that old right-of-way. There's nothing there. It's probably grown up in bush now.
Yeah.
Fire Route 150 is what is used.
All right.
So whether they have an access from Tate's Island Road or not, if Ken does on his deed, I would say probably they do. They probably got one whenever that was done. So that would be on Part 10, which is 35 Tate's Island Road,
right.
And Part 8, which is the township road allowance. Township should know whether there's a freight to use that road allowance or not. Nobody else should know that. Part 16 on plan 42R18189 is the rest of the right of way on the Shannon property, which Ken is purchasing through the severance. So that leads to a different spot on Ken Allen's lot, completely different from where the original road allowance was.
All right.
And I think Ken said he's quite willing to have a surveyor that's not there and provide them an access across there where they're driving now. So I think that resolves that part if that happens, but I think there has to be a condition in the severance for that to be done.
Well, that's the question, I guess, when 150 was put in. Do you think it was never done properly at that point then?
It would have never been, 150 was put in, and I don't think it was ever addressed beyond Ken's property, it only went to his lot line. I don't know at what point it was put in, actually. I think part of it was used years and years and years ago, and that's why it was drafted on that plan, and that, so that that's why it was done, is because it was used years, and then the rest of it was used or denoted on that plan whenever that plan was done. I'm not sure if that, I guess the old right-of-way, the instrument number for the old right-of-way was never closed. I don't know, there's two instrument numbers, 2251, mm-hmm. and the other one's 127, 128, something like that. And I've never seen a copy of it, so I don't even know what it shows. But has that road allowance right-of-way been closed? Because it doesn't reach Days Island Road on that plan.
No.
Maybe it's been closed now, I don't know. So if it's been closed, number 23 definitely doesn't have access mm-hmm. anywhere.
Well, unless Fire 150 was all done, that's what I'm saying. We don't know the state of that.
I don't think it would have been addressed whenever Fire 150 was done, because the property that Ken owns now to access his island was never part of any plans.
No.
So it would have never been addressed, not likely. It'd
be interesting to know, I guess it's in the Shandling name right now, Fire 150, most of it?
Yes.
So what they would have on their deeds.
Just says part 16 of that plan, that's it.
But it doesn't say that they have access through Fire Route 150.
Oh, through parts 10 and 9 and 10?
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea. Ken might know that if he's seen it. I don't know if you've seen the deed or not.
The Shandling one? No.
Right.
No.
I think that would be interesting to see, because you'd in a sense be getting what rights they had. If you purchase that property, everything would all have to be transferred over, but I'd be interested to know what they have now, Shandlings.
But their rights, so help me understand this, I know that's not your job, but their rights, so my rights are dominant because I'm using them to access my island. There's, but for lack of a better word, theirs are submissive. They're allowing me access. So what rights would be denoted on their deed? There's no right, they're allowing me access, but they don't have a right to access the road. They are the road.
They are the road, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same for my property now, but it's still the right to go to my property and park survives for my island, but my lot provides it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing, I don't believe there's anything in my deed for my mainland lot that says there's any rights there, because they're just, that they're submissive. There's no right there.
Maybe I can add a little bit of clarity to it, I think. Although this isn't a legal opinion, in my experience, part 16 on that plan, which is part 150, that Shandling owns, says together with and subject to a right-of-way. So
right.
They own it.
They own it.
The property is registered together with that right-of-way. And number 23, or Ken, if they had a right-of-way across there, their deed, if the deed was ever updated, there's never any requirement to update those deeds, but if it was ever updated, would say together with right-of-way over part 16, plan such and such. But deeds sometimes go 20, 25 years and never get updated to what the recent plans are, because there's no need to unless the owner bought that done.
Nothing was ever updated. It was all just surviving stuff.
So seeing the deed doesn't do it.
No.
But so ultimately the concern here is that 23 has the proper access,
mm-hmm.
right? So if this is granted and that we're allowed to merge those properties, I can provide that in one fell swoop for them up until a point just short of Tate's Island Road, because there's an apex of a property that's also there that requires us to cross it at Fire Road 150.
Mm-hmm.
Shandling does not go to Tate's Island Road, I'm sure you're aware of that.
That's what I mentioned, there's two spots.
Well, there's mine, is one of the spots, and then the other one at the other, and there's the other spot. Right?
There's the road allowance and the apex property.
Right.
So what are you suggesting for the condition that, it's, that Mr. Allen's willing to put in there?
Sure, absolutely.
First of all, 5312 of the Planning Act, which addresses consents, gives you the same right to ask for things as a plan of subdivision does in section 51, 24, 25, 26, 27, and 551.1 of the Planning Act. So you would just put a condition in there that the applicant's solicitor provide title to the merged properties indicating that they are together with and so subject to a right of way over Part 16, Plan 42, R-18189, and the Allen lands, because the description of them is concession B, part lot 16.
Pretty general.
Yes. I don't think you can put that in there. I guess maybe use the instrument number, I'm not sure. In favor of number 23, Fire Route 150, and provide a registered survey for the same.
And you're willing to do the survey?
Oh, I prefer to just have to do the lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
But if we'll, whatever has to be done, we'll do.
Now, can we get that wording somehow to Carly?
I missed a word there, too. I said it should have said together with a contiguous right-of-way. Mm. So we'll order the bot so it can run from Tate's Albert. They're from.
Can borrow your notes?
The severed land to the benefiting land.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead. Just announce your.
It's Greg Davidson.
Okay.
Just a couple of questions.
Yep.
Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen, how was your proper, how was that parcel of land that you purchased? How was it originally established? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Because it doesn't show up on, it shows up on the impact data, but it doesn't indicate who the previous owner was or whether it was a consent or not.
Previous owner, the last name was Fisher. And I know they still have a presence on Tate's Island Road. They're like an established family, been there for at least a few generations. That's who I purchased it from. Prior to that, I don't know. I will say, and I don't know the relevance, is that if you look at that parcel of land and then you check out the way the deed is worded on my island property, it becomes apparent very quickly that that parcel of land was set aside in order to provide access to the island.
As a parking area, right?
Sorry?
As a parking area?
Yes, as a parking area and an access point.
Because normally within even the teller, where you have a mainland parcel and you have an island parcel, the mainland parcel is zoned to allow a parking area because the parking area is not a permitted use of the waterfront.
Understood. I saw that in the points that you raised. I'd suggest, and I'm not a lawyer, though I have had an informal conversation with my lawyer, that this probably has survived and is grandfathered in just because it's so old.
Well, the parcel, well, it depends on whether the parcel was created before 1995.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we bought our cottage in 2000. And the owner before us, Ted Riley, was there in 94, and he just passed on the rights that we have, and it's to that exact parcel that we purchased.
No, this thing is just a dog for breakfast, to be honest. I couldn't, Patrick, I couldn't find some of these instruments either. On page 2 of your, page 4 of your memo, you got an instrument number, R-212-662. Under the Shanding Lands, and I couldn't find that instrument whatsoever. As well as there's another instrument number, R-0121061, and you say it's attached, but I couldn't find it in the on the land registry data at all.
Okay, we'll let Patrick respond.
May be the case where one instrument referred to the next. So I don't know why you wouldn't be able to find it by looking up the number itself, but it may have been referred to not in the first description, but in a second document.
I looked up both numbers and I couldn't find it. You may be right. Okay, I'll leave it to council to decide what to do.
Well, I'm thinking in this particular case, should it go through the planning board, and you're increasing the size of your property, so it wouldn't just be for parking at that point then. There's much more property then where you could actually build or do something with that. It wouldn't just be an access to the island anymore. And that's, I'm looking at that as a positive. So you're expanding, you're increasing, and if that new piece that you're looking to add on, would that again, that would be part of the island property then? That would all be on one deed then, would it?
That's a lawyer question. I'm not sure how that existing access that's deeded in my island deed would transfer. I would assume so. It would only make sense. We're only looking to have continuance with anything that's on there, so we're not looking to change anything like that.
Well, if it's merging with the access piece of property, and the access property is part of the island, then I would think, but I'm not a lawyer either.
I just want to be careful with the wording there, that the access property is not part of the island. The island has a right-of-way on that access property to park and to use it as an access point. The two are not merged.
So it's not a deeded access?
It is a deeded access, but they aren't...
Just the right-of-way?
Yeah, it's a right-of-way. It's not. They aren't considered the same parcel.
Okay. And was that ever a consideration that...
To
be
combined? Well, I had considered, before this came on the table, I had considered approaching council about the ability to build a garage there and just consider it part of the island because that's what its purpose is. Mm-hmm. But then this all took off, so we're going a different direction.
Yeah.
It would have to be on a separate lot.
What would have to be on a separate lot?
The parking area and the garage.
Well, it's a moot point at this point.
If this actually takes place then, would it be a separate lot, a much larger lot?
It would be a larger lot. My understanding is the lots would merge, so it would be a larger lot.
And I guess that's a question for the planner, Mr. Davidson, then. Would it be a separate conveyable lot at that point then with the addition to the access point?
If it merges, if the parking area merges with the bigger lot,
right?
I don't see how you can tie it to the island.
No, but then it would be, I mean, he could build a garage then on this new lot.
The garage for the use on that lot, not on an island.
Right, yeah.
The accessory building has to be on the same lot as the accessory use, as the main use. And I'm assuming, Mr. Allen, forgive me if I'm incorrect here, but you may want to build on that merged, that big, bigger lot in the future.
Yeah, there's the potential of that. So there were two reasons for initiating the process on this. Yes, because the existing lot is actually a building lot, and you can fit a building on it. So we thought it would be nicer to expand it and have a little more options and a little more control of what's going on around us. And to also, we've taken the property line will just be on the lake side of Fire Road 150, so that we would take all of this sort of thing out of the conversation as much as we can. So we would own the road access as well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the question for council to consider is, are you going to have the right of way established as, I think it's established now as 20 feet? 20-foot right away?
On that, I don't know.
It is in the description of the right of way suitor property.
And the 20 feet being the width of the road?
The width of the right of way.
Okay.
All right. And whether or not council is going to accept the 20-foot right of way.
So just so I'm clear, which right-of-way are we referring to? Because I have a right-of-way on my island to park that denotes a certain area, and then there's right-of-ways to cross the land. Or which right-of-way are we speaking of?
The one from traveling from 23 and your land right now, the island access property, that goes across the property to Tate's Island.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, and it also crosses the Pinca Township right-of-way, and whether or not there's going to be an agreement for that crossing.
Yeah, as we said before, that's sort of out of Mr. Island's hands, because he doesn't own that property where it crosses over.
No, you own the right of way, though.
Oh, the right of way we do, yes, but
right.
This is not to do with his application, so.
Well, he has to cross your right of way.
Right.
Right, and in most cases, you have an agreement for the crossing, that basically liability.
Right, that would have to be done, you know, in...
It's a section 51.6 agreement, like you've done in other cases, like the Fox Farm Road case for that.
Yeah, we had a case on Fox Farm where owners had an access across the road allowance and there was no agreement. So we've tried to clarify that over the years, yeah.
Well, you have an agreement now.
Yes, and as we said before, it's mainly to do with liability and the fact that it is, once that section is a public road, public access, so you can't keep anybody from off it, you can't build on it, and it's a liability concern too that people have to agree that they're the ones responsible if they're crossing the actual road allowance, the public road allowance.
Well, I think you also have the use of the continuation of Camp Road across the network there. Right?
The Camp Road? I'm just trying to visit. Yeah.
There's a road allowance then that extends across to Camp Manitou, that's basically the Camp Road extension.
Right.
And yeah, that's being used now by the properties, I think, the front onto the Middle River, right across from the camp.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where you mean, yeah.
I think you have an agreement for the use of that road.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you.
You need any clarification?
Okay, so what we have here is an amendment with the clause 3 and 3 moved to 4. So clause 3 now reads, this is the amendment, that the applicant's solicitor provide title to the merged properties, indicating that they are together with and subject to a contiguous right-of-way over Part 16, Plan 42R-18189, and the Allen lands in favor of 23 Fire Route 150, and provide a registered survey for the same. That's the amending clause. Yes, need a microphone again.
Sorry. So just what I was saying there before, because I just put the Allen lands, I didn't want to just say concession, lot 16 concession B, because that's the
right.
Whole lot. So if your surveyor comes up with a different description, it should be in there. But that's all we can put in, because that's all we know right now. One other thing just came up when we were talking about 911 addressing, and Ken's wife just said they don't have a sign for their access lands. They don't have a 911 sign for their access lands, so I don't think you have to put it in as a condition. Usually it does go in as a condition, but I don't really think you know it need it, because I imagine he'll be in to get one now he knows he should have one.
Yeah.
If anybody ever gets hurt there and you don't have any place to tell them to go.
Yeah. So that's understood then?
There's no sign for Fire Route 150.
Yes, there is.
There is now. Sorry, there is.
Oh, there is? I lost it then.
It got moved. It was across the street.
Yeah. You're not the first one, Ted. We've had lots of guests circle Tate's Island looking for our driveway.
Good.
Hey, call the question first of all on... Oh, Councillor Zula.
I just have a question on the amendment about the survey. Is it really necessary to have a survey? Because that's a lot of extra cost. Or can they just do that with the lawyers?
So far, we've been able to do it with my surveyor. He's been able to do it off existing documentation and not actually come out and drive stakes. So I would encourage you to consider this, if it's okay with you guys, and my surveyor and the lawyer can come up with something that we can bring in for approval. If we have to do a survey, we have to do a survey, but it is a considerable cost.
Well, it looked to me on one of the plans, Mr. Allen, that one of the rights of way has a standard iron bars all the way along.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he should be able to find those standard iron bars, and then got the 20 feet from him.
Yeah, but as soon as I roll him out of bed and he comes onto the property, the cost goes up exponentially. That's all. And just, Ted, I'm just trying to avoid the cost, but if it has to happen, it has to happen.
So what is
going You've got to be there surveying your line between your new bigger lot now and the Shamney parcel.
Yeah, I'll have to get clarification from him on how he did it now. I don't know if Patrick can add anything to that.
I believe I can. I think if I'm looking at plan 42R, 189, and if the travel road really is on those parts, then a survey shouldn't be necessary, because I think the whole road are parts on a plan.
Okay.
It's unfortunate that you have to get surveyed, but I don't know how else you can register. There's just no way of registering it without a survey describing it. You'd have to have bars in, I think.
Well, his lawyer would know that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they should. Well, just to say, unless Alan Ken's agreeable to give him a right of way across the whole parcel, you can do it that way.
Well,
I don't know whether you'd want to do that or not.
The gravelly part, anyway. But Ted was just indicating that he thought there were iron bars denoting the roadway, I thought that's what I was understanding, and I apologize. I'm a bit of a layman at this.
Right here, Ken, right up to your property.
Okay, so there's iron bars.
If you look at the 42R, whatever the original plan is, and you'll see the right of way, and you'll see standard iron bars all the way along.
This is 150. So see, right up to your property, there's bars. And then
yes, on the south side of part 16, I believe there is.
Yes, right. And that right of way will now be on Mr. Allen's property.
So what do we need to say? Just that,
also not this whole thing. No, just we're doing one. Just where the access.
Okay, well, that may have existing stuff in it, because when I purchased that small parcel that I currently own, I had my surveyor up, and he actually did a survey. So it may exist in there already. So, and I'll reach out to my neighbor, too, and see what they know about this and if they have any paperwork that adds more light to this.
Okay, Councillor Haskam had a point here.
It's saying to provide a copy of a survey. That's not necessarily meaning a new survey would have to be done. So does that help the cause then? Trying to avoid the cost of doing another survey if one
right.
can be...
There was a survey done 5 years ago when I bought the property. So.
Right, well, the resolutions... Dave could read it again, but I believe it says provide
right,
a
registered
survey. So
perfect.
Do you know if the survey that you had done was registered or was just a survey you were handed?
I'll have to check in with my surveyor.
And
that would be
it could be registered, possibly.
Yeah.
The one he has.
Okay.
Surveyor, so.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? That was the amendment, so we'll do, first of all, a vote on the amendment. All those in favor? Okay, and now on the amended resolution, with the amendment included, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay.
Good.
Very good.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody's time.
I'll go off to the planning board. Well, thank you for coming. That cleared up a lot of things.
Right,
so
there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Reg.
Thanks, Patrick.
We'll be sent a copy of the
I'll
whatever. Okay, good. Thanks so much.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. And 15.2. Patrick's still with us. Good. Resolution 24-12, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the proposed consent for a right-of-way to the lands described as Part 1, Plan 42R-21223, in part of Lot 33, Concession 13, in the Township of McKellar, as applied for by Adam and Laura Zandberg, in application number B07/2024 McKellar, and further, that it be approved subject to the following conditions. Number one, that any necessary 911 addressing be assigned by the Township, and two, payment of any applicable planning fees. Discussion? First of all, from Council. Councilor Zulash.
Maybe Patrick could answer this for me. I was just wondering, Just for clarification, Patrick, does White own the property between Fire Route 103 and the Zandberg lands? There's that little piece there.
Yes, he does. There's a piece that says subject to right-of-way, but it's actually subject to right-of-way for lots that are on the lake, I guess you would say south of Fire Route 103.
Okay.
So that subject to right-of-way portion would need to be added to the Zandberg deed as well to have continuous access to that lot.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Is there anything else, Patrick, that we need to know before we open it up to the public?
I don't believe so. It was just found out when the Zandbergs purchased the point property that they did not have registered right away over Fire Route 103, as everyone else on the right, on the road does. So they've collected the permissions from all of the owners over which the Fire Route travels. To get registered right away.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions from council? I'll open it to the public with any comments. First of all, in person.
Nick Gregsmore again. I think there should be a condition put in there that any future consents on the Zandberg property, there's 400 meters of frontage, so it could be open to future consents. Now that we'll have access. So any future consents will need the approval of the owners of the right-of-ways. So that way the Zandbergs won't be creating future lots without those owners have granted a right-of-way, and they won't be able to create future lots without those owners being able to give them the right-of-way for more lots. And again, Section 5312 of the Planning Act gives you the right to have the same conditions as a planned subdivision under Section 51 and Section 51, 24, 25, 26, 27, and 51.1 allow those conditions.
Now the question is, what is the advantage of doing it now as opposed to a future severance or application?
To me, the owners, if they have any plan of this at all, it gives them an upfront idea of what they have to do in order for future consents, if it doesn't hit them with a surprise.
Okay, and there's nothing they have to do. I mean, there's no cost on their part at this point. It's just, letting them know.
Yeah, just letting them know. So you register on title. So it might be maybe another $100 for the lawyer, because it'll cost him to take him 5 minutes to do it.
So how are they going right now, is it?
With all these lawyers listening.
Are
was on Zoom. It's just we're working on a potential amendment to the resolutions.
Here, this won't address any future consents on how the right-of-way is laid out, the width, or any of the, if there is a future right-of-way, all that would be addressed in the new consent.
You mentioned right-of-way across properties. I've seen some in the past where that's all it said. You've given a right of way across the property. It doesn't say where. So no survey.
I don't think I'd want to move his property like that.
No.
That's like you might set a little higher than your driveway.
That's true. No further discussion. We've added clause 2, and clause 2 has been moved to clause 3. So clause 2, the amendment is that any future consent application will require the written approval of the right-of-way owners for access to any future severed lands by the applicant. And the implication, of course, is to the new purchaser. Yeah. Any discussion with that? Call a question on the amendment, adding clause 2. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And on the amended resolution, having 3 clauses now, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-121, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to hereby receive the proposed consent for a lot addition in the Township of McKellar as applied for by EDC Custom Contracting in application number B10/2024 McKellar, and further that it be approved subject to the following conditions. Number 1, that the solicitor preparing the transfer documents confirm that the lot addition merges with the benefiting lands. 2, that the retained and severed lands be rezoned. 3, the applicant provides the surveyor's real property report for the severed and retained lands. And 4, payment of any applicable planning fees. Any discussion from council? We'll maybe start with this one. I know it's been bouncing around a bit, but Patrick, do you have any new information for us?
I don't believe I have any new information that council already know. There were some complications and the previous consent lapsed, and now most of those things have already been done to allow to finalize the previous consent, but this has to be a new application. And I know the applicants have the required zoning application ready to be filed at any time, so it's the same, it's just new number. Thanks.
Councilman Zulak.
Just a question on the new application, Patrick. On 8.2, it says, has this land ever been a subject of a consent, blah, 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 and it's ticked off no. Should that be yes?
I suppose technically it should be yes, although that previous consent was not actually finalized, was approved, so.
Okay.
And I guess the other big question we have on this, and maybe we have confirmation, is there a garage already built? I don't know whether you're aware of this, Patrick, or this came up at the planning board, so. I mean, what we're sort of working backwards here, if it's already built. We don't know where it's built, so.
The aerial photo doesn't show it, but well.
So you're not aware of a garage personally, right?
I believe it has been built, but I cannot comment as to whether it is entirely on 195.
Okay. I'll open this to the public.
Driving by this, and there's a garage there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any other comments from the public on this?
Reg Moore again. There is definitely a garage there. I drove by there, and there's a garage there. I guess I'll call it site plan, that was provided by the surveyor, I believe that Patrick submitted with this agenda, shows distances on there to the new lot line. One of the conditions is that the both properties have to have a surveyor's real property report to finalize the conditions. I would suggest that these surveyor's real property reports be filed in conjunction with the application for rezoning, and then there's no question about what the distances are. The surveyor's real property report will show those distances on there. Right now, that what I see on there, those distances that are on there, I didn't get it measured or anything else, but I question those distances even that are shown on there, because the access driveway is roughed in on that sketch, and the garage is awful close to that neighbor's access driveway. So
you're suggesting that it should be a certain order, or just at the same time?
Those are submitted at the same time, and then the zoning bylaw can be drafted based on those surveyor's real property reports. The office here has to draft that zoning bylaw.
Right. So is there any way we can combine, I don't know whether you have it in front of you or not, clauses 2 and 3?
I don't think it's in front of me.
Maybe Carly's already done it, I don't know.
Yeah, she's left the way it is. It's 3. She just says on there filed in conjunction with the zoning bylaw amendment.
You can make the real property surveys a schedule to the zoning bylaw, and outline in the text of the bylaw that the yard setbacks are as per the schedule.
Need that repeated, I guess, for Carter to get the wording.
Don't you think her wording's good enough?
Yeah, I think that's kind of soon.
It'll come up in the zoning.
The special provision zoning may have to have a lesser setback than what bylaw 9512 requires once it's surveyed. Who knows?
Right.
Even after the new property's added.
So they're grandfathered in as long as there are no changes to those, right? But as soon as you start changing, the grandfather clause, like it's non-conforming.
The lots that are too
right.
small? Yes, they're grandfathered in, yes.
Right, but as soon as you start changing.
Then you have to rezone them, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I've got to pull that off, yeah.
Okay, so the amendment is to number 3. The applicant provides the surveyor's real property report for the severed and retained lands to be filed in conjunction with the zoning bylaw amendment. That was just added, to be filed in conjunction with the zoning bylaw amendment. Okay, any discussion on that? Oh, question on the amendment? On the amendment?
I'm just going to have you read that again.
The applicant provides a surveyor's real property report for the severed and retained lands to be filed in conjunction with the zoning bylaw amendment.
And it sure probably should have an and at the end of the sentence. It did before that amendment. So.
It does.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear you say it. That's all.
I'm just trying to read the part
of the amendment. I understand, so I just didn't want to omit it.
Call a question on the amended section. All those in favor? Not opposed. And on the resolution as amended? All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Back then to, well, the public meeting, delegations of presentation to the second annual McKellar Amateur Ridge Competition, Axie Label, which come forward and
good evening, Your Worship, Council.
I mean, make sure you don't mouth watering here. I don't know what all you might speak to, but.
For the record, and for the benefit of those on Zoom, I'm Axie, A-X-Y, Lail, L-E-I-G-H-L. I think my delegation form has three documents appended to it, a letter from myself and Mr. McDonnell, who is president of NLCA. We are co-chairs of the committee, a draft site plan, and an application for an exemption to the noise bylaw. Just recapping, last year was our inaugural event. In our opinion, it was a success. A lot of people had fun. We managed public safety well, I believe. We managed to offer an opportunity to a number of groups to raise funds. Collectively, I think it was about $6,000 that went to various different initiatives within the community. So this year, we recognize that the township support was a key part of our success. It was important. The township provided, the site, fencing, your staff were great, Mr. Gostick, Ms. Britton, garbage, all of that was a big part of it. So we're asking for that support again this year. We've got an even bigger ask, though. We would like to form a custom of council being involved. I think it's a racial unity, and it represents who we are as a benefit to us as a group. So there's two opportunities. The first being competing as competitors. The five of you manning a grill and a booth and handing out ribs, I think would be awesome. A lot of our competitors are first-timers. I run the same event in my hometown, and it really doesn't, you don't have to be someone from one of those reality shows on TV, the pit masters kind of a thing. And if that is not something that you guys feel up to, then there's a far more challenging task of the five of you being judges. That's a hardship. You have to sit. You'll be fed ribs. You may find yourself in need of drinks to help wash it down. Cleanse the palate. I need to see you guys.
Did you bring any samples?
Not taken, but so that's our ask. And so along with the exemption, and I don't know if there's a township grant process, we would like to ask that we receive the site free of charge. It's a help to us.
Yeah, that can be considered, yes.
I appreciate that. Do we have to do anything formally for that, or?
I think you've already got some things in kind, so I think I'll check the line out whether there's any papers that have to be filled out, or is this just in kind?
It probably wouldn't hurt to have them fill out the application form. For rental, just we mark it no charge, then we have ourselves covered.
Okay.
I can do that.
So she'll send that to you.
Yep.
Thank you.
So it's not a dunk tank, that's good. I mean, we've been there before. So.
In the dunk tank?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Set up here in the field.
Nobody told me.
Well, that was years ago.
Well, we can fix fix that by
no, no.
Small target and it doesn't really move.
No, I appreciate this and all that you're doing for the community, and it's something that you're starting and hopefully be a yearly, and you've asked for an exemption to be a permanent exemption in the noise
yes.
bylaw. So
yes, we would like it to be something that goes on for years. The one that I run in Mount Forest, we're in our seventh year, and it's just picking up steam in terms of people getting involved. There, it's the same idea. We've got service groups competing, you know, the fire departments, the Lions, and so on. So,
okay. Oh, that's great. Now, I'd ask the question of Carly about the seniors. Did they not meet in the summer? They didn't want any conflict with on a Sunday.
They do, but they had no issue not having cards that Sunday, and I'm assuming a lot of them attended the event, so we'll just let them know ahead of time that that date won't be available for cards.
Okay. No, that's good, because I know there's some questions in the past with Remembrance Day, and they didn't want to give up the cards, so if they're agreeable, that's great.
What time is cards?
1 till 4, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And they have a setup in the community center with tables and chairs, so mm-hmm. it would conflict, but mm-hmm. I don't think they would have any issue. They didn't last year, so.
Okay, well, cross my fingers.
Councilor Zula?
So we'll let them know well ahead.
I'll let them know tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Axie.
Thank you, Roxy.
So we have resolution 24-122, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Axie Lael, co-chair of the McKellar Rib Competition Committee with the Manitowabing Lake Community Association, MLCA, in regards to the second annual McKellar Amateur Rib Competition, Rib Fest. Further, that the township will make an in-kind donation to the MLCA by providing the facilities, the community hall, the kitchen, the arena, and parking for the Rib Fest event to be held on Sunday, July the 7th, 2024, provided that a facility rental form is completed and it is accompanied by the event's liquor license and proof of insurance 4 weeks prior to the event. And further, that the township will remove the garbage and recyclables generated from the event. It should be gathered and ready for pickup in a single location. Additionally, staff will move the bleachers if required for seating. And further, that the township's bylaw enforcement officer will provide a report to council in regards to the noise exemption, noting that the MLCA is requesting an amendment to the noise bylaw to exempt the Ribfest event annually for the first Sunday in July from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. And further, that it is the responsibility of the MLCA to, number one, install the fencing to be provided by the township as an in-kind donation. Discussion?
I see last year the McKellar Fire Department won fan favorites, I guess, for their ribs or whatever. So if I don't think council should put in a team, because we would probably win that. So I hate to take it from the fire department. But thanks anyway.
I was guaranteeing that council would win. That's my promise to you.
This is on record now.
Certificate until like the day before. Ms. Britton can tell you that, you know, last year I didn't have it in my hands until the day before. They're sort of operating on a first, sorry, the events that are happening now are getting their policies now. So I can apply today. I'm not getting it until a couple of days before the event. So the requirement of providing 4 weeks below, you know, before, I won't be able to do that.
So
my SOP. Special occasion permit, I can. But PAL is, it's a nail biter. They are always issued. It's just, I don't know, I think it has to do with labor shortage.
So if we just have proof of insurance prior to the event?
Yes.
As opposed to the 4 weeks?
Yes.
Is council agreeable to that amendment?
Yeah.
Yep.
it's still a condition, but hopefully that all comes in place. So there's that slight amendment. First of all, call the question on the amendment. All those in favor and opposed? And then for the resolution itself as amended, all those in favor and opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Good night, and I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, the pain again. What resolution number was that? I didn't write it down.
That was 122.
122? Thank you.
So we have resolution 24-123, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February 6, 2024 and the February 20th, 2024 regular meetings of Council as circulated. Discussion of those minutes?